This episode of the POTUS Podcast brought to you by Oil. Oil, because living like the Amish would suck. Welcome to another short form edition of the POTUS Podcast. I am your host, the once and future president, Adam Deaver, POTUS Deaver, president 47, codename Snowball. I'll explain that some other time. But anyway, so I thought a little bit about not putting this out. I had it kind of prepped and ready to go, but the whole campus protest movement thing has kind of died off a little bit here. So I wasn't too sure if I was going to put it out, but I still think it's pertinent to the time that we're in, and you still see some of the protests going on, like, you know, 12 people walked out on Jerry Seinfeld. One lady tore up her degree as she got it on stage, which I'm sure she's going to leave that off her resume, right? She's going to say that she didn't earn that degree that she tore up on stage. Yeah. Anyway, here's my first question to all the students around the country and even the world. What happens when the universities reveal that they don't have any vested interest in Israel? Think about that for a second, and I'll come back to it. If you listened to the prior iteration of this show, then you might have heard me talk about how I do not want to turn this podcast into some kind of reactionary pundit program. Lord knows we have all the pundits we need on both the left and the right across all spectrums of media. And as such, I promise I am not trying to parlay my run for office into some sort of book deal or radio or TV show. Again, there are plenty of talking heads out there, and as of this moment, I don't have any books to sell. Stay tuned, though. My first love is writing, after all. But considering the weight of what is going on in the world and seeing that President Biden just recently finally made his own statements on these protests, I thought it appropriate to relay my own thoughts. My first thought on the matter is that this is nothing more than Occupy Wall Street 2.0. That, and we really, really, really need to raise the voting age to 25. Let's talk a little bit about protest in and of itself as a device for social change. The Constitution states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. People like to focus on the term peaceably to assemble, and they should. But unfortunately, people like to distort the term to mean whatever they want it to mean. Just think of the infamous mostly peaceful protest meme that we had a couple of years ago. It's hard to convince people that protests are mostly peaceful when you're standing in front of a burning building. A lot of people tend to judge a protest's lawfulness more on the issue in question rather than the demonstration itself. Unfortunately, when you do that, you risk creating glaring double standards. That's part of how I define my personal conservatism. You can't change your definition or your principles based on what is at stake. Everyone has to abide by the same blanket rules of peaceful protest. Peaceful is peaceful. Language is not violence, no matter how distasteful we might find it on a personal level. Everyone has the right to say stupid and racist stuff. That's America, baby. And there is no end to the amount of stupid and racist people out there. That's also America, baby. But you're getting into a very gray area when you're calling for actual violence. But even that is protected really up until the point where people start actually doing violence. The idiots that stormed the Capitol on January 6th had no right to do so. The idiots that took over the building on the Columbia campus had absolutely no right to do so. When your peaceful protest turns violent, you immediately lose all legitimacy for your cause. And I'm not saying that from an individual standpoint. I'm saying that from a collective standpoint. You might feel that your particular issue or your particular demonstration needs to have a little bit more force to it. But really, as soon as you enact violence, people start to tune out. Name one violent protest that has resulted in actual change. Have we had any reforms to the justice system since the Summer of Rage? I mean, aside from the endless catch and release program that has become some cities' justice programs these days, the Just Stop Oil people can just stop. There was another protest just the other day. Two people smashed the protective case around the Magna Carta because threatening a priceless historical relic is sure to win people to your cause. And that leads me to my next point on protesting. It's all just empty virtue signaling. That's not to say there aren't real protests going on with real goals trying to enact real change. But these kids on campus, they have no idea what they're protesting. They have no idea what they're protesting for or against. It's just something to do, which lets them say they did something. Of course, there is a much, much deeper issue going on here with these school protests, but that is a subject for another episode. I'll be talking about Israel in a few weeks, so stay tuned for that. But back to these idiotic students. One of the things about protesting is that your group should have some sort of leverage. These students have no leverage whatsoever, unless you count just general inconvenience. My college experience, thankfully, didn't see many protests. I went to the University of Houston, and the only major demonstrations I ever saw were on abortion. Those were pretty small and peaceful, honestly. They never got in anyone's face. They never screamed at anyone. On one of the major walkways of the campus, you actually had a day where there was a pro-life demonstration on one side and a pro-choice demonstration on the other. But it was always civil. They never yelled at each other. They never yelled at anybody walking by. They just stood there and engaged with anyone that was interested. What leverage do any of these students have on their respective campuses? The biggest and most effective leverage that any protest group can have is simple. Money. How can your group affect someone's wallet? That is the quickest way to get someone to listen to you. The Revolutionary War was fought over taxes. The civil rights movement began with bus boycotts. Even today, we see organic boycotts of companies like Disney and Bud Light. But again, here's my question to those kids. What happens when the universities show you their endowment portfolios and they have nothing to divest in? What then? Are you still going to keep chanting from the river to the sea? Because that is a bona fide call for genocide, by the way. But who cares, right? It's those darn Jews. It's weird how nobody seems to care until the Jews are involved. But again, I don't want to get off track. My talk on Israel is coming. Here are a couple of other things to consider when joining a protest movement like this. First, what are you willing to sacrifice? And second, what do you have to sacrifice? Do these kids have anything they're willing to sacrifice? It's not food. Even the handful of kids doing a hunger strike aren't totally committed. At Princeton, they want the charges dropped against any student that has been arrested, so they're not willing to sacrifice some jail time. One student was crying because she got suspended and won't be able to graduate. So they're not willing to sacrifice their degrees either, I guess. Why should anyone care about these students or their support for Palestinians? The answer, at least to me, is they shouldn't. Again, aside from being horrifically misguided, these protests are nothing more than Occupy Wall Street 2.0. You're not affecting change. Nobody cares about your silly message. This is all just for show. You know it. I know it. Everyone knows it. Those that fought in the Revolutionary War were willing to die for their cause. Those that marched in the streets for civil rights knew they were going to get hit with fire hoses and attacked by dogs. They were willing to be arrested. And yes, they were willing to die. Martin Luther King Jr. said it himself. I might not get there with you. That was a man who knew his life was on the line. These stupid kids aren't willing to give up a Wi-Fi signal, let alone their lives. Gays for Palestine? How dumb do you have to be? We are so incredibly lucky to live in America, and it really disappoints me that people live here without context to the rest of the world. Freedom has to be constantly maintained. If you start taking it for granted, the Leviathan will consume you. These kids have zero appreciation for the tool that is protest. You cannot claim to be against genocide while calling for the genocide of the Jews. They can go back to where they came from? Are you insane? Do you have absolutely zero self-awareness? I observe these kids in the media and social media, and I just thank God none of this was around during World War II. I'll give these kids a little break in that they aren't really old enough to have been in a position to be heard until now, and some of them were probably born after 9/11. But still, there seems to be a willful lack of comprehension here. You trust the numbers that Hamas sends us? I guess the worst thing you can be right now is a colonizer, and if you happen to be a Jew colonizer, all bets are off. These kids have no idea who they're supporting. None. All they see is the Jew colonizer. This brings me to another point when considering protest or any other similar act of civil disobedience. You have to have a clear understanding of the issue and a clearer understanding of the goals you want to accomplish. Staying with the campus protests, you believe you are protesting genocide and apartheid. Fair enough. You want to free Gaza. Fair enough. You want from the river to the sea. Record scratch. Israel is going absolutely nowhere. Whether or not you think that Jews are colonizers or oppressors or whatever, they are not going anywhere. Calling for their removal or their genocide is a non-starter. Look again at the Just Stop Oil crowd. The group that glues themselves to objects made from oil. The group that makes signs on vinyl banners made from oil. The group that videotapes them on cell phones made from oil. You get the idea, right? Do these idiots really believe in their group's title, Just Stop Oil? And then what? Let's say you wave a magic wand and you stop oil. What then? Replace it with what? I would ask the same of the kids protesting for Palestine. Replace the Jews with what? Do you even ask yourself what that would look like? Here's a clue. Wave that magic wand again and suddenly all the Jews are gone. Or even play the game of alternate reality and Israel never was. The second the Jews are gone, all those countries surrounding that region, Jordan, Lebanon, Libya, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, they all go to war over that parcel of land. Folks, for great swaths of Israel's 75-year history, those countries occupied Palestinian territory. The Arabs don't give two bits about the Palestinians. Do any of you useful idiots even stop to consider that? I say that not to validate anything Israel has done or is currently doing. I am simply saying you have to consider who you are trying to prop up. You can protest a war all you want, folks, but to give no consideration for the inciting incident, which in this case was October 7th, why should anyone take you seriously? And again, I go back to what happens when your schools don't have anything to divest from. You should be more outraged that your schools have billion-dollar endowments, yet still charge you thousands and thousands of dollars a year to get a degree that most people aren't going to care about. So again, this is just for show. This is just Occupy Wall Street 2.0. And it would seem that no matter what decade or century we're in, it remains fashionable to hate on the Jews. Israel has had enough of Hamas. Israel is going to destroy Hamas, and they couldn't care less about what Ivy League brats in America think about it. What would you have done if you were alive during slavery? My guess is you wouldn't have set yourself on fire like a complete jackass. And not for nothing, but when the monks set themselves on fire during Vietnam, they didn't scream like a bitch. Their silence was the message, you idiots. I'm all for protesting, folks. It's an effective tool of the populace to bring awareness and change. But awareness for awareness' sake is little more than an empty gesture if you're not willing to go the distance and fight for real change. Imagine if all the people throwing soup on artwork would get together and create alternatives for oil. Imagine if all of these students demanding divestment would demand Egypt open its borders to refugees. Or better yet, imagine if they were demanding that Hamas surrender and face punishment. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day over there, whatever you think of one side or the other, your argument is invalid when your protest, quote unquote, is slaughtering entire families. Your humanity is forfeit when you parade the dead around like a stuffed animal you won at the county fair. If October 7 was how Palestinians protest, as some of these students like to equate it to, that's on them. October 7 wasn't a protest in any sense of the word. It was an act of war, plain and simple. One of my closest friends is very sympathetic towards the Palestinians. He calls Israel an apartheid state, and I always use this analogy with him. If my next door neighbor moves his fence line into my yard, you know, I might want to rip out his bushes for doing that, get some retribution in there. If I do rip out his bushes, knowing that his response will be to burn my house down, probably not going to give him an excuse to burn my house down. Just a thought. These kids really need to think outside the box on this one. But unfortunately, our universities are turning out some real brain-dead drones that think the West is the problem. It really isn't the problem they've been led to think it is. But more on that in a later episode. So there you go. Just be smart when you protest. Be smart. Be specific. Protest all you want. Don't be violent. Don't be stupid. But hopefully I didn't rant too much about Israel and all of that. Like I said, I'll get to Israel here in the next few weeks. In the meantime, before I get to Israel, look for the next episode. I'm going to start talking about my path to the White House, because I'm sure everyone wants to know, how the heck am I even going to pull this off? Well, I'll tell you, but you'll just have to come back for the next episode to hear all about it. So until next time, as always, thank you for listening. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, on X, coming soon to Instagram. Like, share, subscribe, whatever all those hip YouTubers say. Share this with your friends, family, and folks, because Lord knows we need a better option this year for president.